how we can reach the world we never touch. When we start the Spanish ministry, the first thing I did, I find out all the doors, all the houses. I need to know where they live, that way they cannot hide from me. So I remember I knocked door by doors.
Yeah.
So I remember one night I was in contact with a guy from Mexico. He is maybe almost 6'2". And then when I invite him to church, he said, well, in Mexico, Spanish people, they very hard have a hard time to trust people because for the reason for they come from. So it's hard for them to trust because they was thinking, oh, you are going to kidnap them. But except in Canada, you know, like in Nova Scotia, there's no people there. So when I arrived to the house, he said, but it's going to be me and two friends. He said, just in case. And then he told me, can you take a photo yourself just before we come and just to be sure who you are, to see your face? I said, man, I feel like I'm in Mexico right now any cartel or anything. I don't know. So I take a photo and say, well, look at that. That's me. I am outside waiting for you. And then I noticed, and three big guys, strong guys come and say, I should be running. No, then. I am the guy should be running from them. Right. And then the three guys come into the car, my little carport tire went down and everything. Like, that was maybe 6'3", 6'4", like a big Mexican guy. And then I joking with them, I said, you guys were scared of me? I scared you guys over here. But anyway, so they told me, no, it's very hard to know the people really care for you here. He said, for us, it's hard to understand that they, because the first thing when they come to the Maya is, or he wants something, or he's gay. That's the first thing came to his mind when I was contacting him. He said, why did that man arise me? I said, no, because I care for your soul. But these guys get saved, and they come into church, and we baptized some of them.
Praise
the Lord for that. So that was a little start, just get a little warm. That's not the message. But I had the privilege to be able to baptize a lot of the Spanish people too in the church. And that was I was had the privilege to disciple them too in the houses. We do disciples in the houses. We do one by one, or we do by families too. So that was being a blessing. And I wanna start with a question, but you don't need to answer, because I know I'm preaching you there. One of the main questions is, what is the main business of the church? What is the main business of the church? Some would say, well, the main business of the church is care for the members. Some people go say, well, the business of the church is to visit the sick and pray for them. Some would say it's care for important transition of life of people, such as marriage, childbirth, death. Some would say that it's here to provide guidance and comfort, but we are those, all these are functions of the church. That thing that the church should be doing, that's the function of the church. But they don't are the main business of the church. The main business of the church is the lost souls.
Yes.
The main business of the church is to answer to the Grand Commissions.
Yes.
We lost the focus and forget about the loss and bringing God glory through this. I told Pastor that I have a different message ready. And then today in the morning, I wake up and I start praying. To my prayer, God sent my message to different direction. And I praise God for that. I like it when the Lord do that. But when any church lost the spirit on the Great Commission, the reason of the existing of the church lost too.
Yes.
Our job of the Great Commission and when we as the Great Commission and when we lost the meaning of the church dying as well. You have to remember that God is a missionary God.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
From the beginning. Yes. We need to remember that this Bible is a missionary book.
Amen.
The gospel is a missionary message. And the church is a missionary institution.
Very good.
when the church stopped being a missionary, sorry, but the truth is that's been betrayed his truth. Essentiality, the church has many responsibilities, so many functions, but are only one mission. And that's the Great Commission.
Yes, sir.
The Great Commission, which is the evangelization of all nations. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. Oh, sorry, part of the earth. A church that is not focused in the lost world is a church that is not founded in the Word of God.
That's good.
It's not founded in the Word of God. But just thinking in yourself, like other churches of the prosperity. I like to use the Church of Prosperity as an example. A lot of these big churches of the prosperity they don't have a pastor, they have prophets. But let me change the name about prophets. They are prophets. They're not prophets. They are prophets. We're going to change the spelling a little bit. There's just what they can get. Just give the church what they want, and I can get what I want. But the church is not for this.
No.
The church is for the lost souls. The church is the incubator of missions. The church is the incubator of mission. The local church is the place where missionaries are born and ascend. And I am, like here, I am sending to start Spanish ministry through my church. I am sending to Victory Baptist Church. When God was about to send the first missionaries movement, he to one of his apostles, he did from the local church. A local church was God's starting point and should be our starting point if any church is going to be an incubator for missionaries or mission. Has to be to the local church. Now, it scared me sometimes when I saw so many organizations, and they might have the good reason to help people, but the ministries or mission should come from the local churches. And now I want to talk about a little bit about the church of Antioch. I want to talk to you a little bit how the church start. And before I start, we go pray. Heavenly Father, again I am your presence, Father, Lord, and I need your help tonight, Lord, as I preach your word, Lord. Father, these people, you people came to hear from you, Father. Lord, these people, Lord, maybe they tired work all day, Father, but they love preaching, Father. They can hear to get something from you, Lord. And I know with all my heart that you will not disappoint them, Lord. I pray, Lord, to you, spoke to the heart, Father. And they are so they can understand, Lord, the importance of the Great Commission. And thank you, Lord, for the good example that you put us to you in your word for us, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 11. Verse 19 to 21. Now the which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word that know but unto the Jesus only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number of believers and turning unto the Lord. Amen. After the persecution followed the death of Stephen, the believer was persecuted and was forced to flee Jerusalem. The believer went to Phoenicia, Syria, and Antioch, Italy, and they only spoke to the Jews before. But some believers from Syria and Cyrene began to preach to the Greeks in Antioch about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to remember, everything starts with Stephen's. One had to die. If you go back, the resort of the church of Antioch, and then also you can see that which led a large number of people to believe, the church in Antioch grow rapidly. But how did it start? For a man who died for the gospel. And then something also reminded me too that this death was no event.
Amen.
This death was no event. And also we can see when the persecutor after Stephen death, the people was running away, like there was people was going out the Jerusalem. But something that really gave my attention when I was looking into that, they was away from the lands, the houses, the families, the cultures. They didn't complain. But anywhere they was going, they was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There was no complaint. Oh, I leave my mother. I leave my son. Can you imagine all the pain? A scare inside of them. Where am I going? How I go provide for my child? How I go provide for my kids? Everywhere they was going, they was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
About the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Then, and now the news, if you go to verse now 22, the tearing of these things came unto the ear of the church which has in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Amen. Also, we see that the news reached out the church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem hear about this thing, and they sent Barnabas to support them. And Barnabas, the verse after, he recruited Paul, and together they working there for 1 year. They were there for 1 year. Also, we see the people rejoicing to see what the God was doing in the church of Antioch. I remember that when a lot of preachers coming to see what the Lord is doing in Nova Scotia, they rejoice we are. They say, in Nova Scotia? I don't even think it was Spanish people there. One lady came from Dartmouth, she 3 hours and a half, because she heard there was a Spanish ministry there. One day I took my sister-in-law to the doctor because she not speaking English, so I was translated to her. And then she said, I hear there's a Spanish ministry in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, right there where there's not even signal over there. And then my mind said, yeah, that was the Lord is doing.
Amen.
But a Christian should be rejoicing to see what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
We should be rejoicing together. The church in Antioch actually have a very strong identity. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and too much people and the disciples were calling Christian first in Antioch. That was the first time that we was calling us ourselves Christians. The church of Antioch have a strong identity. Antioch is a model of the necessary characteristic for missions. The people called them Christian for the first time. People could see that the identity the Christ in them.
Right. Amen.
My question is, can people see that in you?
Good.
Can people can identify you as a Christian? Can people identify your church like as Christ? Because that's what the Christian is.
Amen.
When you outside, when you work, can identify as a Christian? Can others identify you with Christ? Can others identify this church with Christ? Another thing is that they understand that they were doing the work of God and not for their own.
Right.
When I always refer, that's what the God is doing in Nova Scotia. That's God's words. And God used simple people like us. Mission is God's word, because mission is the heart of God. They did not seek the fame for themselves. They did not look for a presence. Good job. It was not looking for recognition or for fame. We see all the big churches, the prosperity now again. There were great missionaries because for them the word Christian was more their name. They knew they was represent Christ. There was followers of Christ who came to seek the lost people. And that you can see in the chapter 14:27, I just go break this few things for the verse. 14:27b, they rehearsed all that God have done with them. Have done with them. Missionary is the word of God. 15:4, chapter 15:4b, they declare of the thing that God have done with them. Mission is God's work.
Amen.
Also, we can see in the verse 11:29. Then the disciple, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brothers which dwell in Jerusalem. It was a general church. They sent offering to help the victim of the great fame in Jerusalem. There was a church that was generous. The church of Antioch also worked with Paul, who was the persecutor of the Christians. He had agreed to the death of Stephen. We know that back to Acts. This showed me that the church of Antioch was a brave that did not fear the risk, especially concerning someone with poor reputation. Remember, Paul used to grab people, used to go to the houses and grab it and put it to jail.
Right.
They could be scared. Paul, man, what about if he betray us? What about if he done something against to us? But they talk the risk. They talk the risk, even when they knew his past. But we give thanks to God that the church was not afraid of the risk. What risk you are want to take as a Christian for the furthering of the gospel? What risk you was willing to take as a church for the gospel can be preached? I said, what is risk you willing to take? Some people don't even want to take the effort to come to church. People just had the effort to come one time a week and they said, that enough. These people was willing to take the risk, even they can be put into jail. Because they don't know Paul very well then.
Right.
His name was Saul of jail.
Right.
The result of this risk, the church was grown. It's always a blessing when you take the risk for Christ.
Amen.
When you're willing to do the next step. My church, when we came to Victory Baptist Church 5 years ago, the church was only 30 people in the church. The church was struggling. The older people in the church was 50 years old. Was no young people, no was Sunday school in the church. And I remember my pastor told the testimony that was the first year he tried to decide to do a faith promise.
Amen.
He was scared. He didn't know how the church is going to take it. But a pastor said, I want to do it by faith.
Good.
I go follow the Lord. And I remember he said the faith year or the faith promise was 7,000 year.
Good.
And then he said he believed that there was no coincidence. Because a year after the faith promise, it was the Lord to bring in the Spanish people.
Amen.
Now we have it almost close to 90 to 95 people every Sunday.
Amen.
We have 6 Sunday school.
Amen.
Because somebody took the risk.
Good.
What risk you willing to take? What is the risk you willing to take? Acts chapter 13, verse 1-3. And that's something you need to help me with my accent because because this name is going to be hard to pronounce. Now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers and Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius and Cyrene and Manant which had been brought up to Heros the Tetran and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and faster, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the world whereunto I have a call of them. And when they have fasted and prayer and laid their hand on them, they send them away. Amen. Just to that. Certain there was no distinction of race there.
Right.
That was a multicultural church.
Amen.
Praise God for a multicultural church.
Hallelujah.
One of the first churches here was a multicultural church.
Good.
Here there were no Jews, no was Gentile, no rich, no common people, all chosen and controlled by the Spirit of God.
Very good.
God is willing to save everybody.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I struggle to see the black churches, the white churches. We had the Spanish ministry because they don't speak English, but they're part of this Victory Baptist
right.
Church.
That's right.
We
That's
are
right.
one church.
Amen. Very good.
Now, something that caught my attention that we read in the verse 1 is how God can work through different types of people.
Yeah.
All these 5 people that were doing, they all were ministering to the Lord and fasting and prayer. You know, praise the Lord that you pray at home, but it's something special when you pray in the church together. Also, we see a selecting vocation, Barnabas and Paul. It was a distinctive calling. It was not for everybody.
True.
God had calling for pastor and missionaries, but maybe God called you to be a good member.
Amen. Amen.
It was always like this as was the words ministering. Also, in the chapter 11:26. We read the verse already. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. They was busy in the church.
Amen.
They were ministering in the church. When God called somebody, he's searching for a man for the ministry, he looked for a man who was a servant. The missionaries and the pastor or all the people in the ministry, we are not here for you guys to serve us. We serve you.
Amen.
And that's the kind of people that God looked for the ministry. The word ministry means that they were serving. Humble serving are the kind of men that God wants to use. He used those who are busy. He called the best. Young people want to be called in the ministry, you have to be busy. You have to be busy. But that was not part of my message, but it just came to my mind. But a lot of young people, they're not that serious. Just bring me back in my mind, 2 Kings chapter 17, when the people, the Israel, was captivated by Syria because they was worshiping. God was upset with them because they was mad with them because they was worshiping all the gods and they was disobeyed God when the God told them they don't have to worship these gods. Yeah. And there was and they had the warning for the prophet. The Bible said no prophet. It said prophets. Many die. You guys need to repent. You guys need to do right. Because the consequences for disobeying God is going to come. And they were thinking the consequences will never come to me. I can keep doing what I want to do. Consequences not going to come. Consequences will come to you if you keep sinning. The consequences for them that was in captivity. Also in the same chapter, not remember the verse that they was doing things secretly. The thing that you maybe see that your parents cannot see while you're looking at your phone. By the way, young people should not have cell phone. That's my opinion. Young people should not have a social media. Mm-hmm. But one preacher says this, and I don't mean to offend nobody, but he said, it's not about kids, it's about parents. But these people, Israel, think that nothing is going to happen to them. I can keep live the way they are. I can keep worshiping this God. What God you worshiping? Facebook? TikTok? Pornography? What the Lord has to do to get your attention? God warned them. God will try to get the attention one and other time. But they was like that. Who the preacher thinking to tell me what to do? What did this prophet have to tell me this? I can do what I want. I am my own man. Sure. Right, young guys? If you don't get right with God, if you don't take the things of God serious, your sin will follow you. And that's going to be consequences. Sometimes it intrigues me to see a lot of young people can't wait to be 18 years old and leave the house. I can't wait to the age to go to Egypt. Egypt.
Yes.
It's nothing good there.
No.
A lot of people who get saved in the old time, that we was there, we can tell you it's nothing good there.
Good preaching.
It's nothing good there.
Yes. Good. Very good.
It's better to get right with God because what else more God has to do to get your attention? How many more preachers have to be preached to you for you get to the altar and get right with God?
Good.
If you don't do that, your sin will follow you. That was not part of my message, but she wants to be sensible to the Holy Spirit. It is a special call. The world were also a hot calling. The call to serve was made long before it was announced, even before Pastor knew the Lord already deal with you. When the Lord called you to the ministry, the Lord already called to you first. But like I said yesterday, when I called my pastor and I said, the Lord is calling me to the ministry, he already said, I already knew it.
Amen.
But also, there was no allowing to choose the old field. There was no allowing to use the old field. God has a specific word for men, for them, as many ministries to cover. We have a brother in our church, he had the deaf ministry. I cannot do that ministry. God called that man. The mission of the church is missions. Yes, as God did not call everyone, he also did not call them to do whatever they want. God has a certain word in mind when he called them to service for his glory. The fact that God is calling us, call is selective and specific, is encouraged because it's referring how personal his plan is for each and every one of us. Everyone have a different call. The believers in the church are the investors in missions. And a lot of people don't like when the people touch the money, right? My pastor told my testimony when the God called him to the ministry. The same day, God called 3 or 4 guys to the ministry, pretty much the same age. And then pastor brother, his older brother, staying older of him only for a couple of years. And then he said, hey, nobody called you to the ministry. God's calling all the young guys, and you are always together with them. You do a Bible college, you do everything with them. And then he said, if God called everybody, who's going to pay the bills? He's a faithful brother. Amen. Faithful in the church. Amen. Amen. The sending of missionaries is centered on the church. The church provides, and the missionaries do the work. The Great Commission is a call and is a mandate for every believer. That preach to all nations and to every creature. And how is possible? We need to open the wallets. And we need to pray. Not everyone is calling to go to the mission field. However, every believer can be part with those who are calling to making contribution for missions. Matthew 6, 19 to 20. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. When one soul is coming to Christ in another country, or even here in Canada, you can have part of this. Amen. You might never see that person in your life. That's right. But a soul is a treasure.
Amen.
That stays for eternity.
Thank you.
That's a treasure that goes for eternity. If we are not called to go to the mission field, we are calling to give so that those who are calling can go. Are you are giving to those who are God calling to go? Who is going to go for you? Who is going to go to Iraq? Who is going to go to Philippines? Who is going to reach the Spanish people in Canada? Who is going to reach the deaf people in Canada? Who is going to reach the homeless outside? Who is going to Central and South America? Why? Because they are sending by the church and calling by God. If the matter of the church is not the matter of God, the church has no reason to be in business.
True.
If the matter of the church is not the Grand Commission, it's no mission to see how I can do more for the Lord. You know, I was not thinking to say that, but just want to be careful, but I want to see a very humble way. After the 5 years ago when our church started with $7,000, last year our last faith promise was
$200,000.
Wow. And we are 65 members.
Hallelujah.
And it's not rich people in the church.
Hallelujah. Beautiful.
because we understand, you know what, because after they see what the Lord did in the Spanish ministry, they say, God can work. God can do something. After the Spanish ministry start coming to our church, every year, we need to buy a venue. We need to support more missionaries. Because when you take care of God's business, God take care of ours here.
Amen.
And like I said, I don't want to say that because every Christian with this local church must participate personally in activity and Christ's mandate to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creation. If your God desires the evangelization of the world and you refuse to support missions, then you are directly opposed to the will of God.
Right.
You are against God. The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the world. Only Christ can save the world, but you are part of the, are you a part of the problem or you part of the solutions?
Very good.
And I lost my last page, but praise the Lord. The Lord knows. Maybe I went too long. But what I want to tell you is the mission is the heart of God. And the main business of the church as missions. As missions. If we're not doing much for mission, we disobey God.
That's right. That's right.
That's why in our church we call faith promise. We're doing by faith.
Yes.
Because of faith. Because I don't know how God does, but He does.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I told my wife that for the last 3 years we staff do calculate it because for us that's not has sense. Sometimes we have mail for the government. How you give this and you only make this? I said, well, I don't know how. You have to ask God. He is able.
Man, good.
He is able. But please, take serious. Mission is important. It's more to reach, more places to go. But maybe you are in the situation like Paul and Barnabas. Maybe God has calling to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now today and have a call for you for the ministry.
Yes. Yes.
Are you are going to fight with God still? Or you'll be answered to the call? And maybe in your heart is a specific number that God gave it in your heart to give it. And maybe you're fighting with God. God has too much money. But how big is your faith? That's what we call faith promise.
Yes.
You need to start trusting in God. These people I said in the beginning from when they was taken away from the families, they was willing to leave everything and preach the gospel. They was willing to take risks. What is the risk you're willing to take for the furthering of the gospel? Pastor.
Well,